Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to begin a new series of studies, which I have very much enjoyed bringing together, and we're going to entitle them The Benedictions in the Bible. Now let's define our terms. The anathema of a benediction is this, and that's a very high-sounding technical term, but the anathema of a benediction is a pronounced blessing upon God's people. Now, it's where God is the benefactor and where God also is the implementer. Now, let's refer to the scriptures so that I might illustrate what I'm talking about. In the sixth chapter of the Numbers, the book of Numbers, Moses is instructing the priests of Israel at that time in connection with a very, very remarkable benediction. In verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6 we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Now, do you see here, this is a pronounced blessing. The priest was told to do it. And he was indeed, God made God the benefactor, and God actually implements his own blessing. He sees to it that they're blessed. "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Now, this wonderful benediction, I've been told, and I'm taking the research of others, was spoken at the time of the evening sacrifice. There were two times of sacrifice in the ritual connected with the sacrifices in the tabernacle of the children of Israel. Even in the wilderness, this obtained. Now, the one sacrifice was offered at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the other was at 3 in the afternoon. Now, the one at 3 in the afternoon was called the time of prayer. Even in the Acts of the Apostle, we read that Peter and John went up to the temple at the time of prayer. And this was the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the altar contained the burnt offering. At that time of day, the burnt offering was offered, and the incense was burned, and the meal offering was offered. Now, God was propitiated. Those offerings speak of the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those little lambs never put away sins. The apostle, writing in the book of Hebrews, says that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. They only pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Lamb of God, who died for your sins and for my sins. Now, the Old Testament saint, his sins hadn't been paid for. He got saved on credit. He got the benefit before the price was paid. But the Old Testament sins are cleansed in exactly the same way as the people of the New Testament sins, and I mean, of course, the people of our age included. Now, the Old Testament sins, God kept track of them, and he placed them on Christ when Christ hung on the cross. And he placed our sins upon the cross, upon Christ as he hung on the cross. Of course, God in his omniscience knew them all, and he placed them on Christ, and he died for you and for me on that cross. He was the sacrifice that those sacrifices in Israel portrayed, depicted, pointed forward to. Coming events cast their shadows before. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who hung on the cross and took the punishment for your sins and my sins as they were laid to his charge, and we can go free, and God does not sacrifice indeed his holiness in granting us mercy. Now, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the researchers have determined that this benediction was pronounced. It closed out the day of worship. And we read there, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's a promise. And God keeps his promises. Now, this closed out the day's service. Have you ever noticed that in public gatherings where prayer is offered, the opening prayer is called the invocation, and the closing prayer is called the benediction? That closes out the service, and that closes out the church services of today. The benediction is often quoted. Now, let's go to an example of a benediction being pronounced, a specific example. In the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abraham rescues Lot. Lot was taken captive by four kings at that time. And we read that Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, and he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318. Can you imagine 318 servants? Abraham was a mighty man, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and brought back all the goods, and brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom, where Lot lived, went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, that is Abraham, gave him tithes of all. Now Melchizedek pronounced this blessing upon Abraham. Melchizedek is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, we read there in the 5th chapter that God, actually quoting one of the Psalms, the 110th Psalm, that God told his son, I have made you a priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. Melchizedek was a picture of Christ. Now, he was a king and a priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a king and a priest. No priest in Israel could be a king at the same time. The priests came from the tribe of Levi. The kings came from the tribe of Judah. And they could not mix the two offices together. Hezekiah, on one occasion, I think it was Hezekiah, went into the presence of God and was going to offer up an offering. And no, it was not Hezekiah. It was another king. And he presumed, it was Azariah, and he presumed that he had the right to go in there and offer up an offering. The priest told him to get out. He was a king, not a priest. And God smote Azariah. Uzziah, his name was. There are two names for the man. He smote him with leprosy, and he was a leper to the day of his death. But Christ was a king and a priest at the same time. That is the first analogy that we can draw between these two. Now, he was unique. There was only one of him, and there's only one of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, also, his earthly progeny is carefully hidden. He was made like unto the Son of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has no progeny, really. He was God. He was the creator of all human beings. And we do not know this man's progeny. It would take us too long to go into the book of Hebrews to make all these points. But they are valid and they are real. The most important thing is he gave to Abraham an example of the blessing, and the blessing was this, that he was blessed of the Most High God. Now, Abraham at this time did not know God by that name. And here's Melchizedek, a Gentile, a priest of the Most High God, and he blesses Abraham. Now, the king of Sodom wanted to give to Abraham a reward. He wanted to take all, he just wanted his wife and his children, and he wanted Abraham to have all his goods. Abraham said, no. He said, I will not take from you anything. I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, and here he is echoing the title that Melchizedek called him by, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Now, Abraham here was blessed. Blessed to Melchizedek. That is wonderful. Now, let's think about the benedictions of the New Testament for just a moment. The writers of the New Testament are Jewish people. And every epistle that is closed with a form of a benediction. Now, these benedictions are very, very important in the New Testament. They are the climax, the very climax of the epistle. This is true of the Apostle Paul and others as well. Now, not all epistles in the New Testament are closed with a benediction, but most of them are, and they are most interesting. And with the help of the Lord, we're going to look at them because they are the climax of the epistle, and the blessings are beautiful. We have one in Romans 16. The book of Romans was a treatise on the law. Just wait till we get to it. I can hardly wait. We have one in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. The most familiar benediction in Christendom today. We will study it in detail. Another beautiful one in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 and Hebrews chapter 13, in Jude verses 24 and 25, and the last verse of the Bible is a benediction. It is so fitting that the Bible was closed with a benediction, as well as all of those epistles. Those Jewish writers and the Jews gave us our Bible. God used the Jewish nation to give us the oracles of God, and God used the Jewish nation to give us a Messiah, to give us a Savior. We ought to indeed be indebted, feel our indebtedness to the Jewish nation. Now, those men were Jews, and they remembered that wonderful benediction which we have read in Numbers chapter 6. They remembered it, and they used the form of it to bless the people to whom they were writing before they closed their epistle. And it sums up in a remarkable way the truth of the epistle. I think that you'll find these studies on the benedictions of the Bible most helpful and draw from them the beauty of the provision of God that is made for you and for me, the blessings that he heaps upon us. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for your wonderful care over us, expressed so explicitly in the Scriptures, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.